to see who's around you. If there is no one around you, feel free to move to where there is. I shake the hands of those around you, wish each other a good morning and happy Sunday.
Hello, everyone. So today we're going to be doing something a little different. But if you would look at the pew in front of you, there should be a hymnal. We will be taking those out. And please turn to page 119. And the first song we're going to be singing is Angels from the Realm of Glory. Everyone has one, right? Yes? Okay. Oh, yes. Verses 1, 2, it says 3 here, but is it 4 on there? Okay, 1, 2, and 4. Books open, and we're gonna go page 118, the first Noel, the verses. Oh, no six? Oh, just verses 1 and 2.
To certain points.
last song we're going to sing for this morning's worship is on page 132, O Come All Ye Faithful. And we're going to sing the first three verses. Or you can look on the screen, whichever one you like best. We come, God, and we thank you that no matter what the circumstances, no matter if technology is working or not, God, you are still faithful, and we can still come, and we can still come and praise you and worship you. So, God, we just thank you for who you are and just what you have done for us. We just pray in this moment that as Pastor Jim comes and speaks, may you settle our hearts, and may you make it a place that is ready to receive your truth and ready to have it imprinted on our hearts. I also pray for Pastor Jim as he speaks. May you give him your words, and may you give him your truth, God, that you would just empower the words that are given and in the way that they are revealed to us, God. And so, God, we just thank you for who you are and just what this time represents and what it means for us and the hope that it gives us, God. So we thank you and pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning we're continuing the series on Advent, and today we have the topic of joy. This week of Advent, we celebrate a joyous season. Not only are we overjoyed by the pageantry and celebration of Christmas, the lights, the presents, the family, and the feasts. More importantly, we rejoice in God himself. We enjoy his goodness and mercy. Christmas is a season of joy, not because of what we do, but because of what the Lord has done.
This week's scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 to 6. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
Let us respond together. O Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the wells of salvation. We rejoice in the sending of your Son, the Holy One of Israel. May the earth sing out and the heavens ring forth the praises of your glory. Your people rejoice forevermore.
Thank you. Shall we pray once again? Indeed, Lord, we thank you for what you've done in sending your Son. And Lord, it is because of him that we can rejoice, and that and it's because of him that we have peace and love and joy and hope and all these other things that we celebrate during Advent. But Lord, today as we focus on joy, Lord, I pray that you will warm our hearts and help us to feel the joy that we ought to feel this Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. They say of Christmas that it's the most wonderful time of the year, right? And it's the happiest season of all, I think. So Christmas. We're supposed to be merry and jolly and festive during Christmas, right? We're supposed to be these things. And yet, is that how it actually feels? Rarely does it actually feel so wonderful and happy and joyous, right? To me, at least, Christmas is often the most stressful time of the year. It's the most stressful season of all. And there's a couple different reasons why I, at least, feel this way about Christmas. I mean, we have to worry about holiday decorations. You know, right after Thanksgiving, we have to get ready to set up the tree and, you know, put up everything. I haven't even put up my tree yet. And I'm like, oh man, if I don't put it up, then I've only got it up for, you know, however many weeks. So we have to stress about putting up that tree and decorating with the lights and the stockings and all that stuff. Then we have to stress about Christmas cards. Oh, how many should I order this year? Who should get a Christmas card this year? Oh, we kind of lost touch with them. Maybe we don't give them one. Oh, we made a new friend. Maybe we have to give them one. Wait, what's their address? Right? You got to go around hunting for their address. And then you have to stress about buying presents. Presents that the person's going to enjoy. Presents that aren't going to get returned immediately. Right? For me, Christmas sermons, like Advent, they're really, really difficult to prepare, because how many sermons have you heard on love and joy and peace and hope already, right? What else can I bring to the table? And for those of you in ministry, maybe Christmas and the end of the year, it's time for budgeting. It's time to wrap up the year end, plan for the next year. Right? That's pretty stressful stuff. And then there's thinking about Christmas parties and what to bring and what recipe and, oh no, if I make this, what if they bring that? And, oh, I've already done that before. There's a lot to be stressed about during Christmas, if you think about it. The holidays are just hard work that doesn't really feel like the most wonderful time of the year or the happiest season of all. Christmas is stressful. It comes to the point where I almost don't even have a minute to really enjoy Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong, there's lots of things about Christmas that I find fun and entertaining and even relaxing. There are lots of smiles and happy moments during Christmas. But I have to confess to you, overall, I'm pretty glad when Christmas is over. I'm pretty glad when Christmas is over. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure it ought to be this way. I don't think it ought to be this way. Christmas for me has become a season of errands and checklists and tasks. Why is Christmas such hard work when it's supposed to be this season to savor? It only comes around once a year. We're supposed to savor. Today I want to focus on this question. How can we enjoy Christmas more? How can we be more joyful this Christmas and not this big ball of stress running around to all these different places? How can we be more joyful this Christmas? And I don't think the answer is to get started with all your shopping and this and that earlier. I don't think the answer is to go and spend more money. I don't think it's to do more stuff. I think what we need is actually less of that and more of Christ this Christmas. So as we saw, our text comes from Isaiah 12. And if you have your Bibles, would you actually please turn there with me? Isaiah chapter 12. And as you flip there, maybe take a quick note of the chapter headings as you head to 12, from chapter 1 all the way to 12. Just take a quick note. So just to kind of get you up to speed on this point in the book of Isaiah, the first 12 chapters of the book, the prophet has been warning the people about God's wrath to come on those who have broken the covenant. God is bringing his wrath, that God is punishing his people for years of rebelliousness and wickedness. And the southern kingdom, Judah, right, they only had to look to the north to see what their sin and disobedience would bring them. Their brothers to the north were being conquered and they're exiled by Assyria. And so they saw firsthand what God's wrath looked like. Things looked pretty dark, pretty bleak. God seemed really, really angry, really determined to wipe out his people. And yet, Isaiah also hints at a brighter future. He hints at a brighter future for them. He promises that God will restore his people through a child who will be born, this son who will be given, in chapter 9. In chapter 11, it tells a little bit more about this person. This child will come from the root of Jesse, and he will come in the power of the Spirit. He's going to be a king. He's going to reign in righteousness. And this coming king, this Messiah, he's going to set things right and bring about the salvation of God's people. And it is about this promise of this coming king that Isaiah writes in chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. So in this verse, some unidentified person is speaking. It's possibly the king of Judah, or possibly just a personification of Jerusalem. We're not sure. But this person is speaking, and they're singing this song, in a sense, this hymn. And this person has put their faith and trust in God. And they say, God is my salvation. He has become my salvation. God is my salvation. God is not my judge, my punisher, my executioner. God is my salvation. Now, salvation, that word, it's this really loaded term. Salvation. I mean, what is salvation? So I thought it might be helpful to think about it a little bit. In the Old Testament, salvation was a pretty straightforward concept. It was understood in very physical and tangible ways, salvation. Salvation. Okay, so freedom from slavery, right, that was an act of salvation, like in the Exodus. Deliverance from foreign oppressors, like in the time of the judges, right? They called out for a savior, and God gave them salvation from their enemies, the Philistines. Rain during times of drought and famine, like during the time of Elijah. Right? The people were starving, and they had nothing to eat. And so they called out, and Elijah, sent the rain, and they were saved in a very physical, tangible way, right? Physical health and safety, as in the case of Jonah. He's in the belly of the fish, and he calls out for God to save him. And God does, right? God commands the fish to spit him out. Right? And so, in the Old Testament, the scriptures speak of God saving his people through these mighty acts of power, and it was always a very tangible, physical thing that they could feel and they could see, and that was how Israel understood salvation. But as we move into the New Testament, the concept of salvation, it broadens, and it becomes a little bit more spiritualized. Salvation addresses deeper human and even cosmic needs, like the need for forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God, finding a purpose and a sense of purpose in life, having eternal life, and then salvation is even the redemption of all creation. And so salvation, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's this fulfillment of our deepest need. The fulfillment of our deepest need, whatever that may be. Only God knows, and only God can provide what we truly, truly need. Now, need versus want. Right? Need and want. This is something we start thinking about a little bit when we go Christmas shopping, don't we? When you're Christmas shopping for your friends or your family, you have to think about, do I get them something they need? Or something I think they want. And we start debating, what type of person is this? Is this someone very practical, very pragmatic? Or is this someone more sentimental? What type of present is going to make them happiest? Something that they need, like a vacuum cleaner, right? Or something they might want, a necklace. Sometimes what we need and what we want are one and the same. Sometimes they are the same thing. But sometimes we want what we don't need, and we need what we don't want. There's this mismatch. And so Israel, the people of Israel, they wanted a Messiah in their own image, right? This military conqueror, this lion of Judah. But God knew what they really needed was a suffering servant. the Lamb of God. Christmas is about God giving us this gift, maybe not what we might have wanted, but what we really, really needed, what the universe really, really needed. Salvation. In every, the fullest sense of the word, salvation. Physical, spiritual, everything needed to be saved. In the next verse, Isaiah now speaks of to God's people. The you in this verse is plural. It's kind of one of the things that gets really confusing about the English language. You can be either singular or plural. And so I kind of like the Texas thing where they go y'all, right? So it's very clear. You or y'all is a plural thing. So with joy, y'all will draw water from the wells of salvation. Right? All y'all. You're going to draw water from the wells of salvation. The day when God's people experience salvation, when the Messiah comes to establish his kingdom, it's going to be this joyous day for y'all, right? Everyone's going to be overjoyed on this day. The phrase, the wells of salvation, it recalls the city of Jerusalem being besieged by her enemies. And so think about the city. It's being besieged. It's, you know, the gates are shut and there's enemies all around. And yet the city had to rely on the river Shiloah flowing into the city for water. I mean, everybody needs water. You're going to die without water, right? And so it was really, really a tricky situation because the city's locked down. It's in lockdown, but they still needed water. And so this river of Shiloah would flow into the city. And any interruption to that water flow would mean certain death to the city. And so, but God says, when he acts, and when he saves, and when he sends his Messiah, you will draw from the wells of salvation. Wells of living water. Right? You will drink and never go thirsty again. You're not going to have to rely on this river. You're not going to have to worry about this river running dry or the enemies poisoning the water supply, right? You will have direct access to water, the wells of salvation. You will have direct access to the source of joy and salvation, God himself in Jesus Christ. You will have direct access to the source. No longer will your God be distant and far off and separated by a wall of holiness. You will have direct access. Later in verse 6 in your Bibles, I don't have it up here, but in your Bibles it says that the Holy One of Israel is in your midst. God himself will be in your midst. God will be present with you. Direct access in that day. If we aren't joyful this Christmas, maybe we need to ask ourselves, why not? Because this sounds like a very joyful thing. Why aren't we joyful? What has become more important to us than remembering the birth of our Savior or commemorating this act of salvation? Have we become more consumed with planning our vacation time and organizing Christmas activities, stressing about presents and potlucks? I mean, these things can be entertaining and joyful to some extent, but they aren't the source of our joy. We will enjoy Christmas much more if we make it about Christ. It's not just his birthday we're celebrating, but we are celebrating a definitive moment in God's plan of salvation. A definitive moment in God's plan of salvation. From the day of the fall, creation itself has been longing for this moment. The incarnation, God himself in human flesh, come to set things right. Without Christmas, there can be no cross. Without Bethlehem, there can be no baptism. We will enjoy Christmas much more if we realize its deeper significance. It's not just an extended vacation at the end of the year or a, hey, happy birthday, Jesus, let's party. Christmas is one of the most important days in the history of the universe. Think about that. It's one of the most important days in the history of the universe when God himself came to be with his people. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. So again, in the second half of this passage, we see Isaiah telling the people that they are going to be so overjoyed by God's salvation that they're going to want to burst out in song and in singing. They're going to want to just tell everybody, right? Go tell it on the mountains, right? And so this is my second point for today. Joy isn't complete until it's shared. Joy isn't complete until it's shared. Think about a time in your own life when something amazing or awesome happened to you. Think about it. I'm sure you've had at least one, I hope. Maybe it was something you never expected. You didn't believe was possible. Maybe you got an A on a test that you barely studied for and you were sure you were going to fail. Maybe your significant other gave you a really, really thoughtful present or a surprise trip. Something that made you so happy and joyful that you felt like your heart was going to burst. Right? Have you had something like that in your life? And what was your response to that? What was the first thing that you did when something like that happened? For me, I was thinking about this myself. Right? What was a really joyful event in my life? And I remember the day that I received my college acceptance letter. I had applied to about a dozen schools, and my rejections were starting to roll in. I think this was around springtime. My rejections were starting to roll in, and it got to the point where I actually didn't want to go and check my mail, my actual mailbox. Right? I was just like, oh man, who am I going to get rejected from today, right? And so one day, I opened my mailbox, and I got this big, fat package from Seattle. And so I opened it up, and it's from the University of Washington Housing and Food Services. Housing and Food Services were the first people to contact me. And in it, what is this? This is a big packet, right? And it details the prices of the dorms and the different meal plans that you can buy and this and that. But wait a second. I hadn't even received an acceptance letter from UW yet. And I have this packet about, you know, meal plans and dorms and this and that. And so I'm like, what's going on here? And so, you know, I must have read through this HFS packet, you know, 3-4 times. Like, what is this thing? And then I logged onto the myuw.net a dozen times, but nowhere could I actually find that it actually said that I had been admitted. I couldn't find anywhere with the actual words you've been accepted or you've been admitted in the class of 2005. And so, okay, so I kind of just sat on this packet, right? Because I didn't want to get my hopes up for nothing and I didn't want to tell people I got admitted and then, oh, sorry, I didn't actually get admitted. They just send this packet out to everybody. And so, you know, I just kind of sat on it, put my anticipation and my excitement was building and building and building, right? And it wasn't until, you know, 2 or 3 days later that I received the official acceptance letter in the mail. And I was able to, you know, share the good news with certainty that I had been admitted. And so I remember that day, you know, this is like 3 days of just kind of waiting and anticipation and this excitement building up, right? And I got the letter, and I still remember, you know, I opened it and I ran around and I went outside and I was yelling and hollering all around the neighborhood. Woo, yeah, I got into college. And I started calling up all my friends on the phone, the actual phone, because this is before cell phones. And I messaged my entire ICQ buddy list. Right? You guys don't even know. So anyone who would listen, I would tell them about this, and I wanted to talk to them about this, and talk to them about Seattle and this and that, right? And because I was so overjoyed by this news, by this thing. And I wasn't bragging. I just couldn't help myself. I was so happy, and I wanted others to be happy for me. And when others shared in my happiness, it extended my happiness. My joy wasn't complete until I had shared it. I had let everyone know. Joy is meant to be shared. This is the reason why your first instinct, right, when something great happens to you, is to reach for your cell phone and to blast it on social media. That's your first instinct, because something joyful has happened to you and you want to share it. We as social creatures, we are hardwired to share good news with others. It's as if our hearts aren't designed to hold it all in. On the other hand, we have to struggle to share about grief, about disappointment, to let others in on our sadness and vulnerability. It's difficult to share about things that are sad, aren't they? But joy, it just naturally explodes outward. Look at these verses. In verse 4, give thanks to the Lord. I call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. And then sing, and then shout, and then let the whole earth know. I mean, these are all imperatives. This is just go and just explode with joy, right? Israel is being commanded to let everyone know about how awesome God is. This God who forgives and who loves and who saves. Go and tell it on the mountains. When Israel receives her Messiah, it's going to be such a joyful day that the whole world needs to know about it. The first Christmas was the beginning of that joyful day. In Luke chapter 2, we hear the angels, they can't contain their excitement. They are bursting forth in song. You remember what song they sang? Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. The angels can't contain their joy. They have to go and find a field and sing it to a bunch of poor shepherds, right? Anyone who will listen to them, they have to sing this song. And then the shepherds, they go and see the baby Jesus. And then, do you remember what happens? They can't contain their joy. And they start glorifying and praising God. They aren't bragging. They aren't bragging. They just can't help but share their joy. This Christmas, if you want to try something new, if you want to enjoy it in a different way, make it about seeing and sharing Christ. This Christmas, make it about Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, we as Christians, we constantly moan and complain, oh, they're taking Christ out of Christmas. Well, it's our job to do something about that, to put Christ back into Christmas. Be bold. Talk about Jesus. Send out a Christmas card with scripture on it rather than Santa. Send scripture, not Santa. Write newsletters and let those you've lost touch with know what God is doing in your life. I mean, don't just write about the kids and, you know, your job. Share about how you've grown spiritually. Strike up conversations with coworkers. Ask them about their holiday plans, right? It's very harmless. Hey, what are you doing for Christmas? And then take the next step and say, well, why do you celebrate Christmas? Why do you celebrate Christmas? Maybe that will lead into some spiritual conversations that you can steer towards sharing the gospel. The joy of Christmas is meant to be shared. Like the angels and the shepherds, we're meant to see and share what God has done in Jesus Christ. I hope this year, Christmas isn't just another busy and stressful time of the year. Another year of the same old festivities and the same old traditions. I hope this year, Christmas can really be about Christ. Try it to enjoy it more this year. Make a conscious effort to see and to share Christ. So as we prepare for communion, maybe we can think about ways that we can do that. How can we make Christmas more about Christ? Let's pray and prepare our hearts for communion. Heavenly Father, Christmas has become so stale, so routine for most of us, I think. Lord, help us to capture the wonder, the joy of Christmas. Lord, that you have come to save your people by coming yourself. You yourself have become our salvation. Lord, this is a truth. This is a truth that we shouldn't just gloss over, that we can't just bury under Santa and reindeers and Frosty the Snowman. Lord, this is a truth that needs to shine forth. Christmas is about salvation. Christmas is meant to be shared. Lord, this Christmas, I pray that we will be bold, that we will share about Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So here at ECC-SKC, we encourage you, if you have been baptized, if you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to come and receive the elements and bring them back to your seats, and we will take them together at the same time. Okay. So when you're ready, please come.
Strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain. White as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leopard spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For now grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus saved it all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I own. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as
snow. See the elements together joyfully. Let's pray. Lord, without Christmas, there could be no cross. And so, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you for that first Christmas. We thank you for that joyful event. Lord, I pray that this Christmas we will feel the joy of Christmas, that it will be something that we want to burst forth and share with the world and sing out and shout on the mountaintops, Lord. Lord, if our love has grown cold, Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts and remind us about your love for us, about your salvation. So God, help us to be more joyful this Christmas as a witness to what you've done. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to ECC SKC this morning. And after we're dismissed from this service, please gather in the fellowship hall as we have some snack time for us to fellowship and get to know you better. We also have an update from Ivana for the Christmas Child Project.
Hello, so I'm gonna kind of just share what we did in Operation Christmas Child and how everything went. And so, as you guys know, a few weeks ago, we had the food bazaar where you guys made and bought lots of food. And yes, as you can see, there's a lot of different kinds of food. And because of that, we were able to raise about $3,000, which is really great. And then we also had to get the actual items to put in the boxes. And so we got these either by donation from you guys, from the box on the right, or we went out and bought a lot of stuff. But yeah, and so with those things, we were able to, the youth were able to categorize them and lay them out and kind of into school supplies, clothing, toys, different things like that. And so, oops, wrong, go back. Okay, well, and then afterwards we were able to pack all the different boxes. In each box there were school supplies, sanitary items, some had clothes, all had toys and different things like that. And so at the end, oh, we also had help from adults, which was super nice, thank you. We were able to pack 150 boxes, and if you look on the right, that's kind of what all everything inside looks like. But afterwards, we loaded them into cars and sent them and dropped them off at the Operation Christmas Child drop-off location. And so kind of from the food bazaar, we were able to raise $3,339.97. I don't know where the cents came in, but you know, they appeared somehow. But you guys were still really generous in just how much you gave. And so we were able to raise total $6,079.79, which is about $1,000 over what our goal was. And so that was really great. And so we were able to pack 150 boxes. But not only that, but with the extra money, we were able to purchase 12 lesson Bible study courses as well as free New Testament Bibles for 150 kids as well. And so not only would these kids get boxes, but they would be able to continue to come back to the church and receive Bible study lessons on kind of just continue to understand who Jesus is and what the Bible is and everything, which is really great. And so we just want to thank you for everything. And yeah, we'll be excited to do this again next year. But,
Thank you, Ivana. Okay, and then some of the quick other announcements is there's basketball today from 1 to 5. So it doesn't matter what your skill level, we invite you to come down and participate. It's at HCC Gym, which is that way, I believe. And okay, I think everything else is listed here on the inside, but those are the highlights. All right, thank you.
Oh, there we go. Okay, let's take some time for reflection and meditation and prayer, and then I'll close us out and dismiss us. Father, we thank you for the joy of Christmas. We thank you for that we were able to share this joy with 150 children, with 150 children around the world. And so I pray that they will come to know you. We do pray that they will not only receive these physical gifts, but also receive spiritual gifts and understanding, and that they may receive the ultimate gift of all, salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord, and we ask that you continue to impress upon our hearts about the joy of Christmas and finding Christ, seeing and sharing Christ this Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And all of God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. And an angel sing, and an angel sing.